Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD. I'm Andy Kirikides, joined by my wonderful co-host, Keith Glasser. Keith, how are we doing?
Great. How are you?
We're going to talk about a topic, the ebbs and flows that go on throughout a season, specifically between the execution of pitching and the execution of hitting, how that works, and we'll see where it takes us. So I'm going to kick it over to you. Get us started on this wonderful topic.
Sure. I was actually having this conversation the other day with multiple coaches. And it brought me back to when I was coaching, and I something we would always talk about as a coaching staff and as a team is how it's cyclical in this game over the course of a season of you're going to have times where the pitchers are just dealing it out, and your offense can't really muster a lot of runs, and you got to deal it out and hope that you give up three and your offense can somehow scrape together four. And there's going to be other weeks where, you know, seemingly your offense can't get out and your pitchers can't get anyone out either. So, you know, there's that inevitableness of, you know, pitchers and hitters kind of getting a little irritated with each other when it gets to, competition and compete time, where, you know, pitchers are like, hey, we're doing everything we can and you guys can't score and we're losing. And then hitters are like, we're doing everything we can and scoring 20 runs and we're giving up 21. Like, what are we doing here? And I always used to remind my guys, like, hey, it's going to come back around. Like, there's going to come a time where the pitchers, like, you guys are dealing it out right now and we're keeping our head above water, but like, they're going to start scoring a lot of runs and you might be giving up some and losing some games too. So like, it's going to come back around. The idea is that you are obviously in peak performance mode when you get around this time of year where you're getting into the conference tournament, there's crossover series and there's things like that going on. But the point is that during the course of the season, there's going to come a point of time where the hitters are going great and the pitchers are not going great, and vice versa, where the pitchers are going great and the hitters are just trying to grind out a handful of at-bats to just scrape runs across. But we got to be in this together and continue to pick each other up so that we can be on the right side of the win column at the back end of those games.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and it always happens where you got to find a way to keep everybody on the same page and really just focus on, like, what are you doing yourself and what are you doing as an offensive unit and as a pitching staff that is going to put yourself in a chance to be successful. Like, to your point, sometimes you got to score 11 to win, sometimes you got to score three, and how you approach that from an offensive perspective or a pitching perspective, it changes. And one of the things that it can lead to, and I think this is probably what we both will drive at here, is that we've seen dissent among the ranks when this kind of stuff happens and you see one side of the ball not performing up to snuff and the other side of the ball seems like they're doing their job. And if it goes on long enough, you get some finger pointing, you get some people who are a little bit miffed. You might have some people calling each other out. And, you know, as a player, you got to recognize that everybody's out there trying to do their best. It's not like pitchers are, you know, trying to give up runs, you know, when they have that 10 spot, you know, and it's not like offensive players aren't trying to get hits. It's that sometimes this game is funky and, you know, hitting's hard. And sometimes you can't get a break when you're on the mound and balls are dropping in and balls are taking funny hops and, you know, you're missing some pitches or you get some balls that end up getting called balls that should be getting strikes. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that happen into this. And I think the big thing is keeping your head on straight and continually trying to do the things that'll get you success. You know, those quality at bats, swinging at good pitches, being on time, being good from a situational perspective offensively. Like, that's the best way to get out of an offensive slump, is do something that helps the team move the, you know, kind of move the chain, or, you know, however you want to call it, pass the baton through the lineup. You know, can you move a runner from second to third with nobody out? Can you get a bunt down? Like, that's how you prevent significant lulls in offensive production. And like, for pitchers, filling up the zone, being able to control the running game, trying to minimize, trying to get zeros after runs are scored. Like, if you focus on those things, you can generally reduce those ebbs and flows. But it's definitely something that happens, and it happens with just about every program, good, bad. It doesn't really matter. Like, you're going to have those moments where one side of the ball is not, I shouldn't say not doing their job, but they're not performing up to the level that they're expected to perform. And in those moments, it's more important for the team to come together and try to support each other than it is to start pointing fingers, which is, you know, in my opinion, kind of the easy way out. But, you know, me and you have both been in the dugout when you can feel those tensions rising, and trying to figure out a way to get ahead of it is one of the tasks of a coach, is to figure out how to quell that emotion in the dugout.
Yeah. I think the hard part is when you're competing with a bunch of people that, you know, you're more or less living with for the previous 10 weeks. You know, and I think sometimes you can really start to, you kind of sometimes feel like there's two different teams going. And I think it's an interesting thing in baseball where, you know, sure, in other sports, like, you know, in hockey and hoops, like, you play offense and defense in the same kind of mode, right? Like, you don't, like, you know, football, like, you have a different number of guys that are going to play defense and a different guy that plays offense. So you can feel like there's a little bit of a separation there. Like baseball, like, you know, your offense and defense is run by the same guys, and then you have one guy, which is a collection of guys, that throw the baseball to get outs. And I think sometimes you can get the position guys feel like they're doing all of this work defensively and offensively, and we're still losing games because we're just giving up hits left and right. And then conversely, sometimes it's like, well, you know, the pitchers are out here giving us a chance to win by dealing it out. These guys are out here kicking the ball around the yard and they can't get a hit. And you have this like weird dichotomy sometimes of like, how do you like, yeah, get it, man. Like, I mean, if we didn't make five errors and punch out 47 times, like, we might have had a chance to win that game. We only lost by one. It's a weird game, but it's inevitable that it happens. Like, I mean, it happened when we played. It happens when, you know, it happened every year that I coached where, you know, like, look, it's not something that is, you know, I think on bad teams, it becomes something that is, you know, out of control and you can't really, you know, do anything about it. You know, on, I think everyone understands in this game, like, there's going to come a point in time where, like, hey, we're going to have a weekend or a week of just guys dealing it out and we're in a slump offensively. And then other weeks where, like, we are seeing the baseball, the size, it looks like the size of a beach ball. And for us as hitters, and also coming out of our pitcher's hands for the other team. And we're just, you know, you find yourself in 13 to 12 ball games and you're like, man, what are we doing here? Like, last week, these guys were dealing it out. So I think it's one of those things, like, it's part of this game. I think it's something that doesn't necessarily get as much credence or talked about a ton. But I think, you know, to a man, you ask a lot of college coaches or people, like, it just happens and there's no real way around it. But to your point, like, it's figuring out ways to be able to win in those situations and sticking together as a team instead of it turning into, well, the pitchers think and the hitters think, like, yeah, okay, like, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the same team. We have to figure out ways to win. And I think that's where the better teams can, one, mitigate how long that lasts for, but also, like, they pick each other up. Like, hey, you guys aren't good today. We'll be better for us. And hey, there's going to be days where we're going to have three hits and two runs. We need you guys to give up one run. And, you know, when you do that, all of a sudden you're going to have a lot more wins and you're going to be super tough. And it's going to be a lot of fun playing baseball that way.
And sometimes you're on the road at LeMoyne and you kick a ball in the hole and your starting pitcher turns around and asks you, are you going to ever make a play?
I think there was another one, like,
an inning later. Shout out John Smith.
Smitty was like, are you done? Are you done, Andy? Are you done? Yeah, I'm done. All right, good. Make the next one.
That was the same. I think that was the same play. I think you captured the moment a little better than me, because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said.
Are you done? I'll never forget that. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, the ebbs and flows are inevitable. I mean, obviously in baseball, consistency is king. Like, how often can you show up and play close to your best? But The other thing I think is worth knowing is that every single game is an individual event where you have to do different things to win different types of games. And I think that's what defines really good teams, is that you can win a bunch of different ways, right? You don't always have to score 10. You don't always have to pitch to less than 3 runs or less than 4 runs. Like, you have the ability to win that 2-1 game. You have the ability to win the 11-10 game. Like, that's what defines really good teams. And I think if you look across college baseball, you're not just going to see teams who consistently shut people out or teams that consistently go and score 10 or 12 runs. Like, eventually you start getting to play really important baseball, you know, playoff baseball, conference tournament baseball, NCAA tournament baseball. You need to be able to win tight games, because that's ultimately what defines it. Like, those errors, the walks, hit by pitches, free bases, like, they all get magnified in that particular environment. And the teams who are really good have the ability to rally around the situation and understand the type of baseball that needs to be played. And, you know, it's a unique thing that you can cultivate as a coach, is can you create an offense that has the ability to score 3 runs when a dude's stuffing it on you? Like, can you find a way to push 3 runs across the plate? Like, those are really unique offenses that have the ability to operate in that way. 'Cause it's tough. There's a lot of pressure. Every at bat is magnified, and, you know, it's part of what you try to do as a coach, is you try to create a complete team to avoid these ebbs and flows. But I mean, I think what we're driving at, it's kind of inevitable. So don't point fingers, you know, try to be a problem solver, not a problem creator.
Shout out Chris Farish. Be a drain, or be a fountain, not a drain.
Good old Chris. Good shout out there. Anything else you want to add on that subject?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk again next week. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.